That's enough for me. Unbelievable. I'm done. If that doesn't signal the start of the Ashes or any cricket series, I'll go he. Our conversation starter for the Kia Sportage, which has been unleashed, is all about the Ashes. 6 days and counting from the first test at the Gabba. We hope Mother Nature does her bit. We want you to get involved for our best contribution today. We got a stack of prizes. The Urban Myth Slab, the Family Pass to Gumbaya World, $200 Chemist Warehouse voucher, a double general admission pass to the Melbourne City v Western United A-League game at Amy Park on December 4. We are asking you for your most treasured, memorable, favourite Ashes moments, going back as long as you can remember or as recently as you care to recall. What's special to you? And I know, King, this is like picking between your kids, isn't it, your favourite Ashes moments? And Trentos, our producer, has gone deep into the archives.
Power of work.
As forensic a research as I can recall a producer doing. Some of the old audio, new audio, he's cast the net far and wide. But we need you guys to get involved. 1-300-736-736, 0433-98-1116. What are your most treasured Ashes moments 6 days out from the first test?
Well, I didn't do a lot of work to help him here, to be perfectly honest. He's pretty much done all the heavy lifting. But that audio, I have watched the Lachie Hume doco, the How's That, I think it was called.
Yep.
The Kerry Packer start to World Series cricket. And I think that the guy that was responsible for most of that was John Cornell. You know John Cornell?
Yes.
I think he was Strop in the Paul Hogan show.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very successful man. I think he bought the Byron Bay Hotel. He sold the Byron Bay Hotel for about $100 million. About 2 or 3 years ago. He's just passed away, I think, last year. But he was the brains behind all these features. So I think that that for me is a moment, but it's not a highlight as such. I know you want highlights.
Well, Brent's just texting, you just knew it was summer when you heard that Channel 9 theme. And then we know they don't have the rights anymore, of course, but that will live on for many of us. It's the enduring tune of summer, if you like. Well, the first ball's about to be bowled in 6 days' time at the Gabba, right? Now, if you go back to the 06-07 Ashes series, the hype at this time, Kingy, was off the Richter scale leading into that one. We were coming off the most memorable series for many of us, the 2005 thriller in the UK. The Aussies lost 2-1. In fact, it was their first series lost in the better part of 20 years. Back on home soil, everyone had been put into a lather by the coverage, the back and forth, the anticipation. It came down to the first ball at the Gabba, and Steve Harmison bowl what has to be in the conversation for the worst delivery seen at the top level. Andrew Flintoff caught it at second slip. Harmison was rattled. England capitulated and would lose the series 5-0.
Perfect game, Brisbane. The first ball, the first test match. Whoa, wide delivery, taken a slip by the skipper. The nerves are showing already.
Nicholas asked me, was I nervous in the comm box just about 20 minutes ago? I said, not as nervous as the guy would be who's running up to bowl the first ball.
There's Richie with one of his most memorable contributions.
Love Richie.
That was an amazing scene, watching that ball get bowled to second slip, and it did set the scene for that series. Lindsay's in Somerville. Welcome to you, Linds. What do you got for us?
Morning, boys. Look, I'm old enough for the vintage to have actually been there when poor old Rick McCosker came out in that second innings in 77. It was just unbelievable, the roar that we were just dumbfounded, and you know, he's bandaged up like an Egyptian mummy, and they were still peppering him with bounces. It was just we're just so proud to be Aussies, but so fearful he's going to cop another one. I'll never forget it.
Yep,
I'm only a young man, but never forget it.
That Lindsay, that was the day, I mean, it gets recalled, the day that Rick McCosker became an Aussie legend, going back out there with the busted chops. Unbelievable courage.
Yeah, it was just, as I say, the roar was pretty big anyway, you know, on that match. But, oh, wow, just unbelievable. The courage of that man was just staggering.
Good on you, Lindsay. Good contribution from you. A lot of people texting around Mitchell Johnson, Kingy. Witness Mitch Johnson's devastating spell in Adelaide 2013. Unbelievable pace and atmosphere at a ground that was only half completed at the time. We'll never forget that amazing spell of bowling. That's from Tom in Aranda. But Tom, you got plenty of company when it comes to Mitchell Johnson terrorising the Poms, probably for that entire summer, to be honest. David's down in Tasmania. Dave, welcome to Summer Breakfast.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're well.
Doing great.
I think, Aussie mentality, when the chips are down, we work our asses off. And I think Steve Waugh's 100 at the SCG, last ball of the day, you probably can't beat that for me.
No, you probably can't. And right on cue, let's just have a listen to this, Dave.
Listen to the roar. Steve Waugh out of the traps and onto the ground really fast. They're on their feet in the stadium as a man who is really hero-worshipped in Sydney. He's walking out to the centre of this ground for what could be his last innings.
There it is. Wow, one ball to be bowled. Steve Waugh on 98. It's gone for it. There it is. Great moment in the history of Australian Test cricket.
That was great. Last ball four.
Unreal.
Sunlight fading behind the stands. Richard Dawson creamed through the covers and they went absolutely troppo up there at the SCG.
Keep the calls coming through. Tim in Cheltenham, you there, Tim?
Yeah, good day, boys. How are you going?
Going well.
Look, I've got to be honest with you. I think the best Ashes thing I saw was I was actually there when Terry Alderman ripped the guts out of England in the 80s. Took about over bloody 40 wickets over two series. Ripped them apart in their own backyard.
Good nomination, Tim. I've actually got the entire 89 series written down here for everything it represented. But you're right. He took 41 wickets, Terry Alderman. 41 wickets in an Ashes series. Quite amazing, Tim. I know you'll agree. He's speechless.
He's dumbfounded.
He's speechless. But that was I was 9 years of age, Kingy, when that was on. And yeah. The beanbag at home, the permanent imprint of my body. I don't know how Mum and Dad let me stay up for this. I might have had it all recorded on the old VHS, but won the series 4-0, having lost five of the last six series before that. Hadn't won a series in England for yonks, and we were considered a bit of a ragtag bunch. But you'll remember that was Captain Grumpy series. That was all about Alan Border.
So Terry Alderman, when did he did this collarbone, didn't he? Or a shoulder? Didn't he tackle a streak or something?
He busted a bone, did he?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm happy to be proven correct.
I'll go back into the archives and have a look at that. Mark Taylor hit a double ton. That was a series he hit 839, as we mentioned in the quiz earlier. But that was the famous Robin Smith altercation that Robin Smith put in his autobiography years later. He asked AB for a drink, and AB said, no, you can't effing have a drink. It's not a bloody picnic. What do you think this is? And I thought, oh, okay, I'm back in my box. And that pretty much set the tone for the series. Keep your calls coming through. 1-300-736-736, your most treasured Ashes memories. Pete's in Paran. Welcome, Pete.
Guys, thanks for having me. For me, again, early 80s, Border Thompson. Thompson comes out the crease. We need about 70-odd, I think. And these were the days where most bowlers, and Thompson will tell you he could hardly hold a bat, but great bowler. And we got within about three runs. And what was amazing about that is when he went out the next day, the way it was dropped either by second slip or third slip, and second or third came behind that slipsman and caught it.
Yep.
So the dismissal was amazing. And the fact that we got so close was unbelievable, unbelievable.
That was amazing tension. I remember that, Pete. Good call from you. AG's just texted in.
That was the one I spoke about yesterday.
Yeah, that was the double catch. I think, I can't remember if it was the first slip or second slip, spilt it, and yeah, right alongside him, scooped it up.
It was crazy, wasn't it? But they'd batted for so long in that chase. You hadn't seen a last partnership like it.
Yep.
It had everything. Theatre.
AG's look to even up the scores here, Kingy. Sorry for all you Aussie fans, but Ben Stokes, the finish at Headingley, is the best moment for the Ashes. Now, Stokes finished unbeaten on 135 here. This is 2019. England levelling the series. An unbelievable one-wicket win at Headingley. And this is some of the best of Benny Stokes.
Yes! For Headingley, 1981. Reid Headingley, 2019. One of, if not the greatest, Test match innings ever played has just seen England to victory in the highest run chase in their history. Having played the first Test match way back in 1877, England triumph here against the odds.
Ben Stokes, and it'll be interesting to see what role he plays in this series, Kingy, where no one thought he was going to be here.
Alderman, pitch invader, yep, did the shoulder. At the whacker.
Tackling him.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
don't you remember that? I vaguely remember that.
Don't remember that, no. Hey, Andrew has got
a
nomination for
us. Man.
Andrew's got a nomination for us from Karen Downs, Kingy. We watched back the audio and the moment that this happened this morning off air before we came on. Andrew, I'm glad you brought this up. Welcome.
G'day, boys. How are we going?
Going well.
Warney's hat-trick at the G. I actually worked across the road in East Melbourne and said to the boss, hey, listen, I'm going to have an early lunch. I'm nicking across to the G for an hour. I'm going to go watch the cricket for an hour. I'll be back. And I walked across, and lo and behold, I got to witness a hat-trick in the Ashes. Pretty fantastic.
Andrew, you saw it live, which is incredible. For those of us at home, this is what we witnessed.
There we go. Fleming took the last one. Merv Hughes before him.
Shane Warne, a great moment in his career. What a catch by David Boone. You won't see many better catches at forward short leg than that one. The Aussies are all around, and have a look at that. Fleming alongside Warne there, the last two to take a hat-trick for Australia. What a moment.
Andrew, good nomination. How good's Tony Greig?
I love the commentary.
Off the text, just listening to those commentary highlights, it makes you realise how lucky we were to grow up with Tony Greig, Bill Laurie, Richie Beno in the commentary box. That was Tony Greig, that was vintage Greggy, wasn't it, in the commentary box there?
I didn't realise he was so good at the time, Greggy. When you're playing back now.
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
No, some things are so... Some of his one-liners are just classic.
I don't think we took it for granted, but, gee, we miss them, don't we? Yeah. I've got another one on Warnie just before we get to Rick in Broadmeadows and Craig's in Mount Martha as well. Boxing Day 2006, I was lucky enough to be there along with another 89,154 people. It was an enormous attendance, and it wasn't the greatest day in Melbourne. There was some fickle weather about, but that didn't stop what was a world record test crowd at a revamped MCG at that particular point in time. So this was Warnie going for his 700th test wicket, the first test bowler to reach the milestone, and he clean bowled Andrew Strauss.
Got him! There it is! Wicket number 700! And they can't catch him! Shane Warne through the gate has got Strauss.
Crazy atmosphere. He got a standing ovation just for stepping up to bowl. A standing ovation after that wicket. A standing ovation when he got his fifth wicket to end the England innings. And then a standing ovation as he left the field. It was a huge day for Warnie.
Massive day.
Rick's in Broadmeadows. Welcome, Rick.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, just remembering when I was a 12-year-old at the WACA watching Sir Dougie Walters crack a six off Chuck Willis. Of the last ball of the day,
yep.
The WACA century in a session. It was, as the famous, Rexy Hunt said, the crowd were in eight droppings. It was amazing.
Famous name in Australian cricket, Rick. Good call from you.
Have you seen any of the Shane Warne replays? They're on Fox at the moment. They're on
Fox
501.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Amazing Adelaide 2006 was on, and I don't remember cricket games, but the theatre in this was unbelievable. They declared, I think it was 6 for 551, the Poms.
That's right. Paul Collingwood
found a way to lose.
Yeah, Paul Collingwood 206, Kevin Peterson 158. A 310-run partnership, if you don't mind.
Mm.
And then they lost it. That was incredible. Yeah, that was, and Australia ended up regaining the Ashes that year. That was the 5-0 rout, of course, in 2006.
That was Warnie and Brett Lee and those guys. Obviously, Glenn McGrath was there.
Hey, Craig's in Mount Martha. Craig, welcome.
Good morning, boys. Look, I'm on the Warnie bandwagon this morning also. Gee, you can't go past the Gadding Ball as the best, probably one of the most amazing highlights I've seen in watching Test cricket all these years. And, his first ball in Test cricket and the absolute look of disbelief on Mike Gadding's face is... I'll take that to me grave, I reckon. It's a classic.
Never gets old, does it? So just 11 tests old was his career. He produced an absolute masterpiece, as you say, his very first ball in Ashes cricket, and this was the moment it happened.
First ball in Test cricket in England for Shane Warne. And he's done it. He started off with the most beautiful delivery. Gadding has absolutely no idea what has happened to it.
I think Richie was almost in shock, to be honest, at what he just witnessed there. That ball did all sorts of things. And no wonder who shot Mick Gadding. So we're talking great Ashes moments. We've got a lot to pick from, an absolute smorgasbord in front of us. So love to have your nominations right up until 7:30. 1300 736 736. The best contribution as judged by Trent Dawson, the team back of house, gets a absolute swag. Slab of urban myth, family pass to Gumby, world's fourth birthday, vouchers at Chemist Warehouse, double pass to Melbourne City, Western United, the A-League on December the 4th as well. So we are locked and loaded here. The all-new redesigned Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Find out more at kia.com/au.
You're going to the Boxing Day test?
I think I might have to.
Yeah.
This is just whetting the appetite.
It's your zone.
Love it. What a great tradition it is. And it'll be great to have fans back at the Boxing Day test at the MCG. Should be magnificent. Let's hope we can pack it out, Kingy, eh?
Yeah. Both tests.
Forget weather like this. We're going to
be day-night test and the Boxing Day test.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can double up now,
yes,
can't we? Hopefully.
Absolutely.
Back after this on Summer Breakfast.
Kogan. No annual fees, tantalising rewards, just great value. Visit KoganMoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer Breakfast.
Here's the applause for Bradman as he comes in. Three cheers for the Don as he gets to the wicket. As Holly pitches the ball up slowly and he's bowled. Bradman bowled Holly's not. What do you say under those circumstances?
Jeez, wasn't the oxygen sucked out of the room then? The most famous,
so.
Most famous duck in cricket history, Bradman playing his 52nd Sedan and final test, bowled for a second ball duck by, as you heard, leg spinner Eric Holly. So that's the dismissal.
He only needed four runs to have the 100 average.
99.94, of course, 6,996 runs in total. It was his seventh test duck, just seven. But eventually it did little, really, did nothing to tarnish the legacy, but an iconic moment in Australia's Ashes history. Steve's in Richmond. Steve, welcome to Summer Breakfast. We're going down memory lane here. Thanks for joining us.
Is that me?
It is you, Stephen. Welcome.
Oh, beautiful. We've been on silent for a while. Yeah, thanks.
No worries.
Yeah, I'm a big Steve Waugh fan. I think he got his first test century in the 89 series. And when the whole team went to the MCG to watch the grand final, I remember he was mesmerised by Gary Ablett, and that's how he chose the number 5 for his one-day shirt. So,
yeah, right. Good memory. I don't think I've heard that, Steve. All I remember as a kid watching him was just that Gunnamore blade. It was enough to make me beg Mum to take me down to the sports shop to grab a Gunnamore bat. Pestered her and pestered her until she couldn't say no. The power of branding, eh?
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, he was magnificent. Just remember those slashing square cuts and just that back foot square cut that he played, Steve Waugh. Devastating effect during the 89 Ashes series. Good call, Steve. Richard's in Narre Warren joining us. Kingy, Richard, welcome.
Hey, g'day, guys. I'm a bit of an old fart. I just can't overcome the 1977 centenary test, the MCG. Now, Rick McCosker breaks his jaw. Derek Randall makes 174. The result's exactly the same as it was 100 years before. You know, that kind of thing, you know, really gets me all wound up about the Ashes series and the Test matches.
Yeah, no doubt. They're mad, these guys. They are crazy, some of these cricketers. The bravery of McCosker, as the caller before touched on, the things you just don't forget. There's spot on, Richard.
Almost stupid bravery. Good call, Richard. Paul's text in, best Ashes series or / highlight has to be Bodyline. The tactics devised to beat Bradman and then rules of the game changed to ensure it couldn't happen again. We had it down on our notes, Kingy.
We
the
did.
Most infamous Ashes skirmish on record, probably. So this is the 1932-33 tour of Australia by England, of course. And they came with an interesting approach.
Douglas Jardine. Douglas. Well, that's the leg theory, they called it.
Leg theory or bodyline,
Leg theory was a nice way of saying we're coming at your head.
Basically, it was bloody hostile, and it was short-pitched, and it was done to intimidate, and it was done to negate Sedan, of course, and his influence, and it worked. They won the series, I think, so. But the rules were changed off the back of that, and I think there wasn't exactly 100% approval rating within the English camp for what they were doing either. There was a bit of discontent at the time about these tactics, but the rules got changed regardless,
It was another great series.
It
was. Bodyline series. I mean, they've come up with some great sort of docu-movies, if you like, or docu-series, the cricket world.
Good on you. Great text there. Tim's in Carnegie. Tim, welcome.
Welcome, fellas. How are you?
We're well.
Doing well.
That's good. My favourite memory is I was actually over in Thailand with my wife-to-be, staying on a little island called Koh Phan Yang. And we found a little bar that was full of English backpackers, and we settled in to watch the Ashes. And it happened to be the day where Adam Gilchrist hit 100 off about 57 or 58 balls. It was just amazing to watch.
Freak.
Yeah, absolute freak.
Freak.
Ruined it for every other keeper batsman out there, Tim. He did. He ruined it for everyone. And now everyone gets compared to him, which is horribly unfair. But doing some great things for SEN these days, Gilly. Great man. Unbelievable batsman and athlete. The one we haven't mentioned, Kingy, just quickly, is the 2005, a lot of people, especially of my vintage, will say is head and shoulders above all other Ashes series, just for how tense it was, how tight it was. And there was none more tense than the moment that it all came down to Flintoff consoling a heartbroken Brett Lee, who of course narrowly failed to see the Aussies over the line. It became really the image of the 05 Ashes series when Australia's final wicket fell. Lee was at the other end. He slumped to the ground. Flintoff had taken, they'd taken the wicket of Michael Kasprits in the end, and there was a bit of controversy over it at the time. Probably the most endearing or enduring image ever captured in Ashes history. And this was the moment that England got the job done against the Aussies in Edgbaston.
Jones, Bowden, Kasprovic, the band to go, and Harmison has done it. Despair on the faces of the batsmen and joy for every England player on the field. Jones has somehow managed to scramble across and dive and get both hands around the ball to end one of the most thrilling games of cricket there's ever been.
Had no nails left at the end of that one. Chemist Warehouse is the real house of fragrance this Christmas.